I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Welcome everybody to the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman Tag Way Along for the Ride podcast. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Sign up to FanDuel.com/Boston right now, and new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Okay, so we got a lot of things to cover. Of course, the Celtics game, which both of you guys were there last night, as this team is completely falling apart. Bob Ryan, I will start with you because you never took your foot off the Philadelphia bandwagon.
Did not. And I once, in addition to Embiid's obvious greatness, I'm a longtime member of the Maxi fan club. No, I didn't. They are playing now the way they, you know, they're playing very well. I didn't think they were deep though at all. And they have gotten sporadic contributions from their bench, different guys at different times. Melton in the first game, Niang's had his moments. But it's not about them. It's about that core, that starting five. It's about their starting five, and an underrated player is Tobias Harris, who's quietly at like 16-10 last night, and giving them what they need. But no, I didn't. And of course, I'm a Doc suck up. I love Doc, and I've always been a fan of Doc. So,
did you talk to Doc last night?
Well, no, I didn't talk to him. I did something I seldom do, gentlemen.
You left early.
I was out the door before the final horn sounded.
You beat the traffic out.
Well, I did a very good job of getting home. I projected being home by 11:30. I was home at 5 of 11. So I was on the Philly bandwagon. But obviously the story was twofold last night. The Celtics put up a pathetic effort until it was too late. You know, I mean, in terms of, you know, Tatum, you know, he wasn't there in the first period. And yeah, he wound up with 30, whatever the hell he had. But they were, you know, they were catch up points. They weren't important points.
Yeah. There were points to kind of, you know, keep them within distance, but they never put any real game pressure on Philly. That was Philly from honestly start to finish last night, a dominating win in, I think, a game that everybody thought the Celtics were going to win at home. Yeah. The way they had lost game four, everybody thought that the Celtics were going to come back and probably beat Philly the way that the Sixers beat them in game five. And to me, let's start. I know we normally start with the Celtics. I want to start with Joel Embiid a little bit here just because and I talked to him a little bit about it last night. I've seen Joel not play in AAU ball and then play at Kansas and then obviously covered him early in his career here in Philly a lot. His maturity is so impressive, guys, because if you remember, like, Joel, and he's still a happy-go-lucky, I call him a kid. He's not a kid anymore, obviously, but, you know, he's jovial, he's happy. But now, when you watch him on the court, he used to talk so much shit, and now he doesn't talk at all. He really doesn't talk at all to the opposing teams, to the refs, to nobody. That dude just plays hard and plays ball. And even in the post game last night, guys, I expected smiling Joel, laughing Joel, and we got all business Joel. And I asked him about it afterwards. I said, you know, like, you've really kind of matured these last couple years. And he said, yeah, it coincides with the fact that I had a son. And honestly, I want to be a good role model for him. And, you know, part of it's just growing up, you know, growing up in the league. But this guy has turned in to, again, not just the MVP, but somebody. The other thing I thought they would say, Harden and Joel last night after the win, was one of those, nobody gave us a chance, right? And I know they haven't won the series. I get it. But you still hear that often, over and over and over in sports, right? When a team that's an underdog ends up getting a win like last night. There was none of that for Philly. Zero for Embiid and Harden. They've been all two guys that, again, have been criticized in their careers for being injured with Joel, being a little bit too loose with Joel, and Harden just being Harden, being out there and being done and finished. And man, they've been great. And Maxie, your guy, joined them last night.
There is no question that Harden has got a negative reputation for his playoff performances, and that he's acutely aware of it. And I think, you know, this is a very important retribution thing for him. You mentioned about the growing up part. That's a theme that I've observed, obviously, in all these years. And it's very interesting because so many of these young athletes, they grow up in public and they're growing up in public. And I go all the way back to Larry, you know, Larry was 23 years old when he came in the league early in his rookie year, a different world than we inhabit today. You know, of course, these guys are 18, 19. But even
imagine Larry in social media, Bob. Imagine Larry in the social media world.
But right. But even Larry had, at that age, had to grow up in public. He was wary of the media. He didn't trust people. He didn't, you know, he learned, he wound up embracing the whole thing where he was, you know, but he had to go through the process. So we have to always take that, not always, but often take that into consideration when we're evaluating these guys, that they have to do stuff that we don't have to do. None of us have ever had to do, which is really, in a sense, grow up in public.
You'd love this kid. Honestly, both of you guys, if you had a chance to just sit down and talk to Joel, he's such a likable guy because he's so smart. Like, I think that's the part people don't understand with Joel. He is so intelligent, so smart, and man, so talented. That chase down block at the end.
Thank you. You know what I thought of that at that moment? That's a hustle play and a Russell play.
That's right.
That was a play that Bill Russell would have been very proud to claim of his own. He came from way the hell back after. Isn't he the one that lost the ball to start with?
Yes.
That makes it doubly. And no, it's not like it was an important part of the game. It wasn't, you know, if he doesn't get up and go chase him, no big deal.
Right. They're up, 13 anyway at that point. It wasn't like it was, right. It's 2-point game. Right.
And that is a signature moment that tells us who this guy is now and where he is at this point in his career. I'm glad you brought it up.
He's hurt, Bob. He's not 100%. Or anything close. Somebody asked him last night in the post game, and he didn't make any excuses or anything, but you could tell he's saying to himself, like, yeah, I got to take care of myself between game 4 and 5 because I don't know how my knee's going to react to this. I don't know if it's going to blow up.
He's got some good brace underneath that wrap,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I could say, and this is complete hindsight, and I think that this is a problem that Boston had with the Bruins and also has had with the Celtics, is we started anointing people before they won anything. And Bob, you know, Bob, to his credit, kept saying, you know, Philly, I'm not done with Philly. I understand that Embiid and Harden have not won titles. Well, neither have Tatum and Brown. But the Sixers, Bob, have 2 MVPs. 2. Mm-hmm. And again, this is all hindsight. This is me being the frustrated Celtic fan this morning. What? Tatum was 4th or 5th this year?
4th this year, I believe.
Brown's never going to get it.
No.
We talk about the depth, right? But then again, I mean, look, you get Embiid, if he's Embiid, I mean, I would think is going to be a Hall of Famer. Harden's going to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, the Celtics right now, we keep talking about potential, Bob Ryan, and they're facing two MVPs who are showing up.
Well, it's not. These guys are deep enough into their career. We don't have to. They're it's put up or shut up time.
Be for the Celtics.
Celtics. They're not
absolutely.
Not about potential. These guys have been around now. They're established players, and that's that. No, but I'm not. Whether there's MVP or not. Harden is a past MVP. Those days are gone. But he's down to flashes. You know, the flashes of the Harden. We've seen it, 240-point games. That was an efficient game he played last night. You know, we piled up very quiet 10 assists, or whoever it was. It was at least 10, I remember. And, the two stars were the other two guys. And he seems to be okay to accommodate himself to his current status in life. You know, he's capable. He's proud of the fact that he's able to take over the games when Embiid wasn't there. He's very proud of that. But he knows that doesn't have to be the guy any longer. You know, Maxey, by the way, he seemed to go anywhere he wanted to go at any time.
Bob, just on Harden for a minute, though, but to your point, like, the game winner in game four. Like, there's no doubt that ball was going in.
Well, that one bothers me, obviously, because
Brown blew the defense.
Well, I mean, Brown, you know, and I understand his zeal and he knows he made a mistake. You know, the thing is, you have to have in your head at that moment, a two can hurt you, a three will beat you.
Right. I mean,
you can't have the three. All right. But that's the Celtics. All right. So your point is well taken. Those guys are very, very good players and they're surrounded by just enough. They aren't very deep, quite frankly, sometimes that matters and sometimes it doesn't. Last night, it was of no consequence. They didn't need anybody else.
I want to talk about the coaching here, because we talk about coaching in the NBA and how it's really all about the players. And I have to be honest, Jeff, I'll start with you on this one. Mentally, I'm all over the road on this. I'm trying to make up my mind. I want to go back to game four. And right now, I think Doc is quite frankly out coaching Joe. I mean,
everybody does. I mean, that's valid. That's valid.
I mean, he just is. Right. So let's go back to game four. You know, the Brad Stevens, Joe Mazzulla, you don't call the timeout. And you have Marcus Smart getting the final shot. And the fact that Marcus is, I mean, that's a whole other thing we got to talk about. I know Bobby's your guy. But, you know, so they don't call the timeout. They don't get a chance for two for one. They come down. They get a terrible shot. I mean, it goes in, but it's too late. Tatum doesn't go to the basket quick enough. I mean, you should be able to execute that if your coach doesn't call a timeout. I mean, what's going on with the coach here and these players?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the bottom line is you got to go earlier. Whether you call a timeout or not, I don't even care as much. You just got to go earlier so that, first of all, you get a chance for a follow, number one. And if you don't make the shot, you can foul and you're still going to have a chance to get a three to tie at worst case scenario. So, you know, I think my bigger – so my the question I think you're going to get to at the end of all this, Gary, is should Joe Mazzulla be the head coach of the Boston Celtics, and why the hell did ownership give him a contract before the playoffs when the playoffs were all that matters for this team? Let's face it. It didn't matter what they did in the regular season this year. All that matters was how far they got in the postseason, and now they're on the brink of elimination. And why? And I love Joe Mazzulla as a human being. I love him. Again, I'm going to stick up for him while everybody else hammers him and says he comes across as arrogant, no personality, this, that, the other. I know Joe Mazzulla. I love the guy. I've known him forever. However, I wouldn't have given him the full-time job until after the season. Where else is he going to go? Like, I never understand this with owners, especially owners. Forget athletic directors in college. They're not business people necessarily. The owners are dealing with their own money. They're supposedly really good businessmen. Well, a good, sound business decision is to wait until the end of the year and then negotiate with Joe Mazzulla. Once you see if he's your guy, what he did in the playoffs with this team. It made no sense.
Well, I don't want to go. I understand. I'm with you about 88.5% of the way. A couple of things there. I've all along been a defender of the regular season. That's a philosophical decision, the discussion for another day. Believe me, it is. I understand that. But I have strong feelings about the regular season and the way people put it down. Okay. Now, as far as the result thing, you're 100% correct about the thought process here on management was way, it was a rush to judgment I'm going to say it's backfiring. It doesn't look real, real good right now. It's not irresolvable. He may fool us yet, but
I don't think it's fool us, Bob. I think he could mature into we're comparing him right now. How many years has Doc Rivers been a head coach in the NBA?
Over 20.
Right. So we're comparing a guy with no postseason head coaching experience who was thrust into this role that he didn't ask for. He didn't ask for this.
No, you're right. That's fair.
He was given this. And the person that gave it to him was Brad Stevens. So if we're going to blame somebody for this, it might be Brad Stevens.
Hang on, Jeff. I got to push back. What about Tatum? I mean, they did this to placate Tatum.
Oh, no question. Tatum wanted Joe Mazzulla, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what you do.
And the players deserve a lot of accountability for this. Because, yes, if you're Joe Mazzulla, the key is, to me, how do you get this bunch of cool dudes? Because that's what they are. Cool, no emotion, most of them, right? I mean, how many of the guys on this team show actual emotion, real emotion during the game?
Marcus.
Grant Williams, two, if he plays? Yeah. Right? One, maybe two. But one of your key guys, and I don't know how much everybody respects Marcus Smart's like leadership emotion. They respect how hard he goes, but from a leadership standpoint. So, you know, Joe Mazzulla, you got a hard task to try to get these guys to play with fire, with intensity. That's what this team needs desperately. I've said it over and over. I watched PJ Tucker on the other team, and I'm like, man, they could use him. They could use that. They could use PJ Tucker going at Joel Embiid in game four at the end, getting in his face and yelling at Joel. That's what this team needs.
Well, there aren't too many of those kind of guys around, you know, as you know. Yep. You know, the Draymonds and Tuckers and kind of in that category, you know, as a junior grade Draymond kind of thing for a team. Yeah, absolutely. One thing, we have to stop, take a deep breath here for a second. And there is a technical aspect of this game that transcends, our disappointment with the way they reacted to stuff. Their 3-point shooting was atrocious. And that's the name of the game these days. And, you know, and somebody comes up to me, a guy near the end of the game, says, what do you think? I said, 9 for 32 on threes and they can't stop Embiid. What else do I have to say? And the three, they had white, good looks. As we like to say, they had good looks. Al was 0 for the night, 0 for the game, 0 for 6 in the first, yeah, with good looks that Al makes. And so, you know, let's not discount that. I mean, they just didn't make those threes. There are nights when they make them and they look invincible. They make 22, 21 threes. Yeah, that's the game now. That's why I'm not totally giving up on. I'm not giving up. I don't. They can not easily, but they certainly are capable of winning in Philadelphia and pulling the series out still, just by shooting better. And not like Philly was defense was suffocating. I don't think so.
Horford, how many open uncontested threes did Al Horford miss? Everyone. Every three he took was uncontested.
Yeah, and they usually are with him. By the way, right. I mean they are. He's not exactly creating space for himself. He plants himself, you know, in the spot, and they give him the ball, and he throws it up. Okay. Anyway, so, you know, when we're denigrating them, and we're all angry, you know, and I'm, you know, annoyed, you know, the word I love to use, this team annoys me, and they do annoying things. But there was a technical aspect of this that overshadowed everything else. They didn't make the damn threes, you know, which would have changed right away. It would have changed it.
Yeah.
They spent the entire night trying to catch up. The one little gasp when they got it from 15 to 5 at one point. That was it. Close they ever got was 5. And then it went back up, and that was the end of that. And the rest of the game was a disaster. One other thing I'm going to throw out there, I was thinking about during the game, and it finally happened to a small degree, but nothing materialized, was it? Okay, you're having a night when you're not making your threes. You've got two guys on your bench who's raison d'etre in this league is making threes. Yeah. One of them is 6 feet tall and the other 6 feet eight. Well, the 6 feet tall guy got a whiff and he played 5 minutes and never took a shot. And then goodbye, sit them down. Pritchard, Hauser never wouldn't. I just was, hey, take a chance. Why is he on the team? All right. So, and now that's a coaching decision, you know, that
Hauser played. He played a lot in the first series, a lot.
He's had his, you know, so I'm just saying you had that option to, hey, and nobody would fault you if you did that. You know, hey, that's why they're here. Give him a shot. Put him out there.
No, it's a good, hey, listen, Bob, it's a good point. Do you think, though, you have to be able to compensate for a poor shooting night from three if you're going to win a championship?
You got to have an every night. All right. We all know the league is a 3-point league. Okay. Right. But you've got to have a way to win when they're not dropping. Right. You got to have a plan B. And there was no evidence of any, obviously. Of, right. Of any. Now I looked up at one point though. I looked up at the board and they were shooting 50% on twos at one point in the third quarter or late in the third, early fourth. And I'm thinking, you know, they're shooting 50% on twos. And of course they're bricking up the threes but they didn't have a plan B.
The reality is if you're not making your threes and you have to rely on the traditional field goal, then you got to play defense, and defense sometimes is hard.
The defense, right. Well, the defense, they couldn't try. Embiid is a load. He's a problem for anybody at any time. We're looking at historical greatness. This guy is a historically a player of the 21st century, a 7-foot guy, 200 and God knows what, who's light on his feet and has a soft, good hands and a soft touch and casually throws in threes and can bully you to get to the basket when he wants to do that and makes his free throws on top of everything else. This guy, he's a load. He's tremendous.
Jeff Goodman, have you seen Rob Williams lately?
No, Bill Russell has not shown up yet. That's what people were calling him a year ago. And I'm like, well, what are we doing here? He does. He gives you a different dimension against some teams, but he's been a complete no-show.
What we talked about. They need Williams to win a title. And I'm I even like to look at the box score last night.
Rely on him. You just can't rely on him. And even when he's been in the game and healthy, it's like he's not even there.
Over. The Rob Williams experiment is over.
I've said this. They paid him. To me, it's funny. I remember I've been wrong on a lot, but I think one of the things I think I said at one point was when they signed Smart and Robert Williams, could you build both of their values up and trade them both at one point? And to be honest, if you had done that, and I don't know what you could have gotten for those guys, but I think at one point, Robert Williams' value was pretty high, wasn't it?
Yeah. Bob, how do you feel about your guy Smart in this series?
No, what's changed? He is what he is. I mean, and he's just he's had his moments, obviously, and you know, I'm not down on Smart in general terms at all, and I'm not down on Robert Williams. I'm going to be the dissenting voice here. I've seen too many times when he's had a tremendous impact on the game, on a game, right now you're right, he was invisible, but I'm not. I don't think that's a permanent status. So I'm not giving up on Robert Williams. I still think that the supposition that he has to have a prominent role if they're going to win the championship. I still say that.
Bob, you say that this series is not over. Jeff Goodman, is this series over?
No. It's absolutely not over. Listen, you know, again, do you completely trust James Harden? You don't know what you're going to get. Like, James Harden is like a box of chocolates, right? You have no idea what you're going to get. Right. So, Joel, I trust. But, like, and also, it's this drop coverage they're playing against Joel. I get their shooters or their bench guys are making threes. But, man, you're just giving him twos. You're handing him twos because nobody's guarding him at the foul line. It's there for him every single time. The other thing is, when Horford's not making threes, Embiid is just playing free safety there. And nobody from the Celtics wants to go anywhere near Joel when he's around the rim. Tatum won't look at the rim for the most part when Joel's down there. That's who's been intimidated. The whole team, but Tatum in particular, right now has been scared to go at Embiid because honestly, Joel is so athletic, moves so well for someone his size, that honestly, anybody going to the rim, they're going to get swallowed up, and they have.
Yep, you're right. No, he's a force. Anybody that doubted him, or his MVP credentials. Not that there wasn't other good choices. So that's yet another discussion for another day. But
I mean, it's always health with him. No, everybody knew he could play. Always health, you know. Yep. And unfortunately, the Celtics, they had a chance to steal one Game 4 to wrap up the Celtics here. They had a chance to steal one in Philly, and they didn't. And they let him back up off the mat, you know. And that's
Hey, Bob. Is Embiid the most talented big man you've ever seen play this game?
And I think that, yeah, yes, the answer is in terms of the ability to face up and casually shoot threes and do that. I mean, it's all around ability as a big man. He can play the low post game. He can hurt you there. And once again, that extra added attraction is that this isn't any Shaq deal. This guy makes his threes. I mean, his free throws, you know, don't foul him. And that's another additional problem. You know, this, sometimes with guys, you can get away with that, but you can't get away with that with him. No, he's historic. I said it last night. Sorry. I said, he's historically, you know, great. This is a guy doing things at a level with that body that we have not seen at this level before.
Yeah. All right, guys, we move on right now. As we wrap up the Celts, should we fear the Heat, Bob Ryan?
Yes. I think so. That they get it. Jimmy Butler, everybody's fascinating on that. But you can't deny the guy has this ability in the playoffs. He's playing at an extraordinarily high level. The thing about them that's interesting that they keep playing this way is that Tyler Hero was a very important piece to that puzzle, and they do not have him. And it's not like anybody's filled the void. Actually, we thought our friend Duncan Robinson, you know, there is an opportunity, and he may yet come out and hit 6 threes some night in a game for them in a playoff game. But yeah, and the thing is, you talk about Hall of Fame people that you're confronting. Eric Spoelstra, you know, has got that aura now. He is a great coach, and so I would respect. Yeah, they're going to beat the Knicks. They're tougher, frankly. They're tougher. They're going to beat the Knicks, and then they're going to be there. We're waiting for whoever emerges from Boston, Philly, and it's not going to be easy.
We had a good Gary. I won't go into all the specifics. Bob can say what he wants. We had a good conversation prior to the game last night with ESPN's Brian Windhorst, who I still think is the best, like elite analyst, NBA analyst. Just knows so much and doesn't kiss everybody's ass. Says it the way it is. I love Wendy. He's the best. And part of it was talking about Jimmy Butler and how he can wear on guys.
Yeah.
He made during the regular season.
Yeah, he made a great point about the difference between how he conducts himself in the regular season and then when you get to the playoffs, you know, it's a whole different matter.
Let him go. They just appreciate him then. They kind of wipe the slate clean of all the Jimmy Butler nonsense. And what he's done in the regular season, and say, all right, you know what? Let's bring in playoff Jimmy. We're good with everything, and let's go. And he does. You know, he's had that chip on his shoulder his whole life, coming out of junior college and the way he was raised, obviously. He's elite when it comes to the postseason. But I think it's as much as about Jimmy as it is that I just don't trust anybody not named Jalen Brunson for the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't. They're just not guys that I think – have that shit to him that, you know, Jalen Brunson, tweeted the other day, and this is good homework for you, Bob. I don't know if you saw my tweet. How many point guards you would take today in the NBA over Jalen Brunson?
Yeah,
Jalen Brunson.
I'll sleep on that one. I mean, I'll think about that one. My stance when they signed him was, I have coveted this guy, but only as a third guard. Only as a useful adjunct to my, you know, and when they signed him, I said, well, that's great, but you know, come on, they're paying him like he's a star. Yeah. Well, guess what? I was wrong, totally wrong, and he is a star, and he's proving it. He proves it every night.
I'm Alex Rodriguez,
and I'm Jason Kelly
from Bloomberg. This is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, how do we feel about the Lakers and the Warriors? Jeff, I'll start with you on this.
I mean, you know, I was talking to somebody, an NBA guy last night, and he said, I still don't think the Warriors are dead. I still think they can come back and win this series. And, you know, if it were anybody but LeBron on the other side, I would say you're probably right. But, like, is LeBron really going to lose three straight here? And AD, last I checked, they look healthy right now. And their pieces have been pretty good. D'Angelo Russell, we have not talked enough about D'Angelo Russell on this pod this year. And, you know, the fact that D'Angelo Russell, when he was in L.A. the first time around, he was so young and immature, right? He loved the nightlife in L.A., have fun, which you can't blame him, was the top pick. It didn't go well. Then he goes, what, Minnesota? Doesn't go well there either. Now he comes in and, yeah, there's pressure on him, but there's not pressure on him. The pressure is more to fall in line and be a really good third guy behind LeBron and AD. And he's perfect in that role right now. Perfect.
Yeah, he is. And not only that, but they're getting nightly benefits from different people. Yeah. You know, the game one shooter had 19. And then, you know, of course, Walker was tremendous. Reeves is there. They're getting these timely contributions from the auxiliary pieces of the puzzle. I'm worried about them. I worry about. I mean, this is
about Golden State.
This is the nightmare. I mean, about the Warriors. I meant the Lakers. That this is the nightmare scenario for the world that they would have put it together at the right time. You know, and LeBron. You know.
Hey, Bob. Remember what I said earlier in the pod? The regular season doesn't mean quite as much. The Lakers are showcasing that even more than the Celtics.
I know. No, they are. Well, it doesn't. Well, that what it means. Once again, I want to have that discussion someday, but we're not going to have it today, because I'm here to defend the regular season.
Which I get. Yeah, I get. I'm just saying.
Okay.
You got to turn it on.
Now,
some teams can.
The opponent. There's stuff going on. This Jason. Tell what Jordan Poole.
I mean, the dude got punched. He got punched by his teammate earlier this year. I'm not saying it still has this like major effect, but do you think all is great with him and Draymond after the dude punched him and it leaked out to everybody and anybody? And Jordan Poole, listen, he's still a piece. They overpaid. I mean, they completely overpaid him. When you're playing with Steph, you know, with Draymond, with some of these other guys, it's a little bit easier. And then when you become the guy and there's pressure on you and there's expectations on you, I mean, he's been buried now.
Down to a 10 minute stint and 0 for 4. And that's unimaginable. This guy was average 20 points a game. This guy was a 20 points a game guy. And you know, it was a very major part, piece of their puzzle. So that's what a time of the year for this, you know, I won't say implosion, but this deterioration to be taking place. You know, now I still aren't giving up on them either, because how can you give up on Thompson and Curry and Wiggins? And you can't. So, but it's a fascinating series in that regard. But there's something they're not copacetic right now. You know, the Warriors. It's something's, you know, off there, and that's the, you know, bad time of the year to have them. That's for sure.
Is there any chance that Denver hangs on and beats the Suns now with the Joker there?
Well,
I'll start with you.
This is going to be open. This is still
a great, right? Series. He got fined, right? Not suspended. Yeah.
Right. Fine.
That was a strange incident, by the way. But you know, for sure, right from start to finish. Denver. I I've been kidding about Denver, and nobody outside of Denver takes them seriously. And here they are. I think we better take them seriously. You know, they can play this game, and you know, when their pieces are all going functioning, they're as good as anybody. They've earned that right to have that number one seed. Yeah, they're going to beat the Suns, I think, despite, you know, Durant and Booker. And they're going to beat them, and they're going to be formidable. Joker is the Joker. He had another routine triple double the other night.
Hey, Bob, you know who had 25 points in Denver's win last night?
Michael Porter.
Boston's own Bruce Brown.
Oh, Bruce Brown. Yeah. So he was an important part of the Nets puzzle. I know that. And
he's tough, man. Like he is one tough dude. I remember seeing him when he was younger, and then he went to Miami, and he's just, I mean, what did he play the five at times for the Nets when they had no size?
I mean, could Denver give the Lakers, I'm assuming the Lakers.
Oh, God, yeah.
Could Denver can't give the Lakers a hard time, can they?
Sure they
can. Why not? I'm picking them if that happens. I mean,
the Lakers.
I'm not projecting the Lakers to win the title. I'm projecting them to give you, to be competitive in a way that we weren't sure they could ever be this year, and they are. They're as good as anybody could have hoped them to be. I don't think it's going to be enough to win the whole thing, even if they were to win the West. But I certainly think Denver. I would still favor. I like the way Denver's playing in general. You know, and I think
we need a flashback to the old days of Sixers Lakers NBA Finals.
Oh, it would be great. And the commission wants it. Yeah, I mean, the league would love it. I mean, come on. You have Embiid and you have LeBron. I mean, LeBron, I mean, it represents the past and the future. I mean, Durant, God bless him. But, I mean, if you have – we all said with a healthy Embiid and LeBron, I mean, it's the best player from the years gone by to arguably the best player in today.
Yeah.
By the way, the ratings have been good. ESPN's immensely pleased with the ratings they've been getting in their games, and which is encouraging. I like,
because every series has been like interesting. I don't think there's been like a bad series for the most part.
No, they're all right now. What we have going, I'm intrigued. I can't wait to watch the Celtics. I mean, watch the Knicks and the Heat tonight, and as we speak, I got to throw this one out before we go anywhere and switch to another realm of basketball.
Yeah.
But A Hall of Fame coach who's never been as far from, tongue wagging for various reasons, has really got himself in some deep doo-doo right now, perhaps. And that's Bob Huggins of West Virginia, who had a foolish radio interview with the Cup, and in which he came out with what can only be interpreted as homophobic mentions. I'm gonna say, can he survive this? But what do you think is?
Oh, that's fair. Can he survive this? Is fair.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this, Adidas.
I think he will. I'm hearing, and again, not done yet. They're still obviously talking at the highest levels at West Virginia, but I'm hearing that it sounds like it's headed towards a suspension and going to sensitivity classes, things of that nature. Here's what I'll say is you can't say that word. Obviously, we know that. Major, major, major. I'm not even calling it a mistake. It's obviously worse than that. He came out right away and apologized profusely in a statement. I would like to see him, hear him talk a little bit about it. And I'm sure that's what the administration at West Virginia has probably wanted to hear from him. You know, how remorseful is he ultimately? Bob Huggins isn't perfect. We know that. We know he's had his issues over the years. What I will say is ultimately, when you talk to people in the industry, when you talk to the players he's coached, coaches in the industry, everybody talks about how good a guy Bob Huggins is and how much he's done for people over the years. So I always find it hard in these situations to cancel somebody for one mistake, which was a bad mistake. It was awful. You can't say that.
You know, and the thing, when these things happen, you say, what's really simmering inside of him to think that was okay? Even remotely,
he was
okay.
Joking, but you can't joke. No. You can't. No. You got to be smart.
I can tell, as someone who's put his foot in his mouth in public, and in fact, I'm coming up to the 20th anniversary of my biggest faux pas of 20 years ago, and then with Bob Lobel and all that. I know, you know, you can say some stupid things in public and on the air. And in this case, being egged on by apparently a couple of buffoonish radio guys, yep. You know, so it was a bad mix. I mean, you know,
but it's on Hugs. This was on Hugs. This wasn't their fault.
Yeah.
You know, like they egged him on a little bit, but this, he needed to be smarter than this. You cannot say that word really in any context right now. Yeah. He didn't make it personal. It was personal against the Xavier fan base. It wasn't personal against somebody individually. But yeah, listen, I hope he does. I've said this publicly and maybe I shouldn't. I hope he doesn't get fired. Cause again, I think Bob Huggins has done a lot of really good things for people. And I just feel like in this day and age, we do cancel people pretty quickly. And
he's getting hammered. Double team hammering in USA Today on Tuesday from Dan Wilkin and Mike Freeman. Both going after him big time.
I just don't understand. We all make mistakes and can't we learn from those mistakes? Can't we Bob Huggins isn't too old. You're not too old. I'm not too old to learn from our mistakes. As long as we are deeply apologetic and want to get better as people. I don't know. I have a hard time again with people who've done so much good for others. Mm-hmm. And that's when you talk to people, they will all come back to the same thing, which is we love Hugs because he's all about doing the right things for kids, for coaches in the game, for people. I don't know.
What is my little, not personal takeaway, but I learned this quite a while ago. I didn't realize. Remember, the whole source of this was the discussion about the Cincinnati Xavier rivalry. Right. And it is one of the most unknown great rivalries in America and college basketball. That you
Ross
know, know about Carolina, they know about, you know, this all the others, but that's an intense rivalry. We found out, we got a whiff of it from that. Not that I want to make light of what he said, which was stupid and awful, but the fact is that just shed the light on a very interesting.
I went a few years ago, Bob. I took my daughter. I took Talia a few years ago. It was insane. I mean, again, you know, remember the one years ago with they got in the fight at the end of the game and Tu Holloway and Mark Lyons throwing haymakers and they told them to zip them up after the game. I mean, it was ugly. It was a brawl. And I don't know. I just feel like we're all one word away.
No, yeah.
From being canceled. And you know, wouldn't you like to think what we've done in our careers and how we've handled ourselves should be enough to allow us to make a mistake and be penalized, of course, but be able to learn from that mistake and get better as people. That's all.
I'll second that.
All right, guys. Great show as always. Hopefully the Celtics bounce back. Jeff Goodman, Bob Ryan. Until next time, guys. And I do have to let people know this episode of the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, and Tangway Along for the Ride podcast brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Right now, new customers can get no sweat first bet up to $1,000. A no sweat first bet up to $1,000. So check it out at FanDuel.